Okay, if you'd like to take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll be looking at verses 6 through 11. If you'd also like to have your lilac bulletin open, we're going to be moving through some verses, mainly in Proverbs, that are outside our reading in Hebrews 12. And we're not looking so much at God's discipline of us as our discipline of our children. We're doing a series on the home, our homes, and the title of this morning's message is Discipline. Let's ask God's help. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to know how to treat our children right. And so, Lord, you are our model. We pray that as we read this passage and understand how you deal with us, we might understand, dear Lord, how to deal with our children. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, right up front, I've got a 3-minute video of a boy who wants to go back to the toy store. Now, it's just 3 minutes. It's going to seem like an hour, but I'd like you to watch this. Thanks, Josh. We might dim the lights a bit too.
You do not hit nobody.
Don't. Calm down. Breathe.
Too, buddy.
Zebra, stop crying. Want your blankie? Here, can we get another circle? I know.
I think you get the idea. I'm amazed that there are many such videos on YouTube. In every case, the parents use reasoning and pleas to get the child to do what they want them to do, and bargaining and coercion. But children want their own way, and so there is conflict. This mother was finally able to lift her child in the car, but what is she going to do in a year's time when he's just a bit heavier? What is that young man, Jaden, going to be like when he is 14? Are there no consequences to his disobedience? There has got to be a better way. Our society has lost its moorings. We no longer know how to raise children. What has been assumed as normal behavior by parents over the last thousands of years is now considered barbaric by our modern society. But isn't a child behaving like this barbaric? What will stop him raping or murdering when he has the strength to do so? Why should he listen to anyone? There has got to be a better way. Sure there is. God's way. Have we forgotten that there is a God in heaven? Have we forgotten that he is the creator of the universe, that he is the creator of men and women? That he has written in his book a manual on how to raise children, the manufacturer's manual, for he is the creator. Every product we purchase has an instruction manual when we bring it home, but when we bring a baby home, it doesn't come home with an instruction manual. Or is there? Sure, these instructions are pre-delivered thousands of years ago before we bring that baby home. Don't listen to our world. We are raising a generation of angry young people. That young man, Jaden, is only going to get angrier as he grows older. We better start listening to the Lord and fast. The future of our children depend on it. 3 weeks ago for Father's Day, we looked at some of the responsibilities of fathers and of husbands. And one responsibility that we mentioned was to bring up our children in discipline. Not any whim of discipline, but we are to bring our children up in the discipline of the Lord. What is God's discipline like? Well, we said the best answer was to be found in Hebrews chapter 12, and we had a bit of a glance at that. But today we need to look in more detail. We find that in Hebrews chapter 12 that the discipline of the Lord has three characteristics. The first characteristic of the discipline of the Lord is its motivation. And the motivation is love. The motivation is love. Okay, let's distinguish abuse from the discipline of the Lord straight away. Abuse occurs when there is anger and frustration with a child. The discipline of the Lord occurs in love. God is our model. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son he receives. Or that same verse in a paraphrase on your sheets, because the Lord disciplines those he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as a son. In love, God disciplines us as his children. In love, we must also discipline our children. Why is it a loving thing to discipline? Well, good question, but Proverbs confirms that it is a loving thing to discipline our children. Proverbs 13 and verse 24 says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Let's ask again, why is it a loving thing to discipline our children? Well, because discipline, more than anything else, saves a child's soul from destruction. It saves that child's soul from hell. Proverbs 19 and verse 18 says, chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. If you will not deliver the discipline of the Lord to your child, If you fear this world and what it thinks about discipline more than you fear the Lord, then you have set your heart on His destruction. You do not really love, according to the verse we have just read, you do not really love your child. No, you do not. For if you loved him, you would care about the way that he turns out, or she turns out. You must understand children the way that the Bible understands children. The world sees little children as sweet and innocent. And I understand that. My grandchildren are sweet and innocent. I'd love to show you some pictures if you want to see them. But with the Bible, I recognize a darker side to a child's heart. Proverbs 22 and verse 15 says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him." The child is foolish because he's inherited sinful nature from his mum and dad. Doubt that. If you doubt that the child is foolish in his heart, you better watch that video again. There is something of Jaden in every little boy and girl. The world cannot understand the sin nature. The lie is that children are basically good. And as children, we learn bad from our parents, our mum and dad and other children. No, the bad is already there. Proverbs 22 and verse 15 again says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him." If you think a child is basically good, then you're going to think discipline is abuse. If you see the truth that a child's heart is foolish, then you'll see the need of the discipline and you'll see the love that causes a parent to discipline. If you think discipline is abuse, you'll see discipline as barbaric. If you see the love that drives the discipline, then you'll want to be like your heavenly Father as He disciplines His children in love. In fact, love and discipline are so intertwined, if you call yourself a Christian and you have never been disciplined by your heavenly Father, you're fooling yourself. If you call yourself a Christian and you've never been disciplined by your heavenly Father, you're fooling yourself. You're not His at all. The Father lovingly disciplines His children. Verse 7 says, "If you endure chastening or discipline, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening or discipline, of which all have become partakers," that is, all Christians, all sons of the Father have become partakers, "then you are illegitimate and not sons." God does not leave us to ourselves. He loves us. He cares the way we turn out. And so He disciplines us. Neither should we leave our children to themselves. To fail to administer discipline is to fail to love them. Proverbs 29 and verse 15 says, "The rod and the rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Well, you well remember little Jaden. Jaden was not used to obeying his mum. He'd never learnt that there were consequences from disobedience. One simple no should have been enough for him to realise that he couldn't go back to the toy store. Sadly, his mum did not effectively discipline. You can see how ineffective a time out can be. If there is nothing else other than a threatened time out, if there is nothing else ever delivered in discipline by his parents, and certainly the school isn't going to do any better, if there's nothing else delivered by his parents, sadly, Jaden may first learn that there are consequences to disobedience when he's in jail. Does that mother love Jaden? I'm sure. Who else would put up with a tantrum like that? But does she love Jaden enough to deliver the discipline he needs? Well, that remains to be seen. Certainly not there when somebody, I don't know who, decided to video the whole scene and there was a whole group of people in the restaurant watching his antics. So then, as we administer discipline to our children, we must communicate that this is in love. "I love you, Jaden. That is why I must discipline you like this. Jaden, I want you to turn out right. I want you to understand what is right and wrong. I want you to learn for yourself and to be able to discipline yourself. I care about the way you turn out. I really love you. That's the context of discipline. It's done in love. The second characteristic of the discipline of the Lord is its goal. And its goal is godliness. Discipline is motivated by love, and its goal is godliness. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened or disciplined us as best as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. God's love disciplines us unto holiness, unto God's holiness. A picture of God's holiness is like a majestic mountain, snow-covered, absolutely pure and majestic. God wants us to be beautiful people, beautiful like his Son. What an awesome goal that we have in disciplining our children, that they might be godly, that they might be holy, like our Heavenly Father. That's where we're going with child rearing. That's the goal of discipline. We have already read in Proverbs that in disciplining children, we're trying to turn their hearts from destruction. We're trying to turn them away from hell. Proverbs 19 and verse 18, which we've already read again on your sheets. Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. We're trying to turn our child from that destruction. Proverbs 22 and verse 15, which we've also already read. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of your child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And a new verse, Proverbs 23 and verse 14. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Because we want to raise godly children, and because their unsaved hearts tend to foolishness, what we're trying to do, we're trying to get our children to move toward God. Their unsaved hearts are tending towards foolishness. So what we're aiming for is a total reversal in behavior. Because children left to themselves will act foolishly like little Jaden, discipline is needed to reverse the trend. In fact, we're disciplining to godliness, not just seeing a child saved. Yes, we want them saved, but we want them like their Heavenly Father. The reason that discipline is so necessary in children is because the issue in life is the issue of authority. Please understand, our children are like us. They want their own way. Proverbs 12 and verse 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. We want our own way, and our children want their own way. Our children do not want to listen to anyone because they want their own way. But they must listen to us, their parents, or they will never learn to accept the authority of a teacher. They will never learn to accept the authority of a policeman, or they will never learn to accept the authority of a judge, and beyond that, they will never learn to accept God's authority over their lives. The issue in life is the issue of authority. And so it starts with us parents. They must learn to respect us as parents and respect our authority. Some of you may have heard Jim Berg's sandpit illustration. Two of my kids are playing in the backyard in a sandpit. And the older one says to the younger one, he's watching his younger brother or sister dumping sand out of the sandpit, and he says, Dad told us not to do that. You got to stop dumping sand out of the sandpit. And the younger one says, make me. Now, there might be a level of authority between a younger and an older sibling, but not too much. But if Dad comes along and sees the child dumping sand out of the sandpit, and he says, stop dumping sand out of the sandpit, and the little boy or girl says, make me, you can see that they've crossed a higher level of authority, and there is going to be greater consequences for crossing that level of authority. That little one grows up and he or she stands before a judge one day, and the judge says, you're going to report to the police every day and you're not going to travel interstate. And the young man or woman says, make me. They're going to soon learn very fast that the judge can make them. They have crossed a higher level of authority. And he says, I can make you all right, lock them up. Now, if the same child chooses to defy the infinite God, when God says, honor your father and your mother, and he or she says to God, make me, that child has now crossed the ultimate authority, and we should expect ultimate discipline, ultimate punishment. Because we have all defied God in our lives, we all justly deserve punishment in hell. The issue is the issue of authority. Eventually we all meet that ultimate authority, and we're trying to prepare children to meet the authority of God. We want to turn children from their own authority to God's authority. We must teach them to respect authority, and we must deliver their foolish hearts from destruction, from hell. If by discipline they will learn to respond to our authority, it is more likely that one day they will indeed respond to God's authority. If at all we have disciplined in love, and I want to emphasize that today, I want to underline that, I want to put it in flashing lights, if we have disciplined in love and not anger, we should expect them to gladly respond to God's authority. Now I realize that I might be speaking to two different sets of parents here today. There might be parents here who are critical and controlling and angry, and when they have disciplined, they have disciplined in anger. I'm saying to you today, you must discipline in love. That's the way that God disciplines us. Anger and frustration is out of control. Love remains in control. You must discipline in love. But maybe there are some permissive parents here today who let your children just go, and you've been told by the world that you shouldn't spank, you shouldn't offer discipline. Well then, I'm saying to you today, you must, if you love your children, you want to see them turn out right, you must discipline them. Now once they submit their lives to Christ, and once they've decided that they want to live by the law of Christ, they are now on that highway to holiness. They've trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Holy Spirit has come in. And now they're wanting, the Holy Spirit is battling the world, the flesh and the devil. They have a desire to live for God. We can see them going in the right direction. But the foundation for godliness is the discipline of the Lord. Given in love, put it in flashing lights, given in love by godly parents. The motivation for discipline is love. The goal of discipline is godliness. And the issue of discipline is authority. The third characteristic of the discipline of the Lord is its method. And the method is kind of surprising. The method of God's discipline is pain. In love, we are trying to change our child's behavior to deliver their soul from hell. Since a change of behavior is in view, there must be enough pain in discipline to motivate. That's how God works with us. Verse 11. Now no chastening, no discipline seems to be joyful for the present, but, what does it say? Painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. It does not say, when God inflicts pain on us, we learn to inflict pain on others, which is the claim of modern ideas about parenting. God disciplines us with pain, and it is no fun. But afterward, it affects the change of behavior toward righteousness. The beautiful, the peaceable fruit of righteousness in a child's life. So our form of discipline has to hurt enough to affect change. When we go back to Proverbs, we find that the Spirit taught, the Word taught, method of discipline that is spoken of in the Word of God is the rod. It's not a hand, but it's an implement. Proverbs 13 and verse 24, which we've already read. He who spares his rod, circle rod this time, hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Now, a rod, I checked it up, in the Hebrew, refers to a stick. And it could be a thin stick or a thick stick. Exactly the same Hebrew word can be translated scepter. If it's a rod whereby a king rules, then it's translated scepter. Or that same rod can refer to punishing or writing, in which case it refers to a stylus. Or the same word can be used for a fighting rod or a walking stick rod. So this rod can be fat or thin. Now, we lived in Africa for a time, and we watched the African parents discipline their children. And when they had something wrong, the parents sent them off to the nearest bush or tree and told them to pick their own switch. They could pick a thin one or they could pick a fat one, whatever they wanted, but it was hard to tell which one hurt most. Someone said, a hand is for love and a rod is for discipline. Anyway, Proverbs always advocates a rod. Proverbs 22 and verse 15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Can you imagine what would happen if you took a rod to that little boy we watched on the video, Jaden? He would raise the level of his tantrum to a higher pitch. Already, the dear mum was only just pulling him along, and it already sounded like she was murdering him. If she spanks him, it's going to sound like blue murder. But discipline delivered in love is not abuse. Discipline delivered in anger can be abuse. Discipline delivered in love is not abuse. It's under control. Discipline will be hard enough to hurt, but never enough to injure. Discipline will be hard enough to hurt, but never enough to injure. That's out of control. That's abuse. Proverbs 23 and verse 13 on the second side of your sheet says, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Now, you're not bashing the daylights out of this child, but it's a child like Jaden that is screaming just because you would dare to oppose the way that he wants to go. Please listen. Psychological methods are not the best. God's ways are the best. Proverbs 29 and verse 17 adds, correct your son and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. And Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. A child like little Jaden is the prime target for a spank. A spank with a rod, for he is acting in defiance of his mum, who clearly said, no, you're not going back to the toy store. Now, let me put in brackets here, we should never discipline when a child has an accident. We all can trip or knock things over or bump into things or spill things, and we can all get our clothes dirty. We can all forget. A child should not be spanked for irresponsibility, nor should they be spanked for an accident. The way we deal with irresponsibility is to give them further responsibility and train them in responsibility. And the way you deal with an accident is to clean it up. They should be spanked for disobedience, defiance, / rebellion. Because 1 Samuel 15 and verse 23 says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin. It is a very serious thing to defy mum or dad. Because then you will defy every other authority in your life. Now, if we spank and they just increase their tantrum, they are still in defiance. They haven't got the message yet. And I used to say to my boys, now stop that or you'll get more. Sometimes I had to give them more. What I'm saying is their tantrum should not stop you giving what you know is going to be best for them. It's not done in anger. It's done in love because you care about the way that child turns out. I hope this time you're still not thinking that spanking is abuse. Let me make a different statement. Godly discipline is not abuse. Here's the stunning statement. Godly discipline prevents abuse. Godly discipline prevents abuse. Back to little Jaden. Take the same mum, the same boy, and it's bedtime. Mum says, now Jaden, it's time for bed. Jaden doesn't even have to fight this one. He just simply ignores what mum says. 5 minutes later, Mum comes back and says a bit more urgently, "Now, Jaden, start packing everything up. I told you 5 minutes ago, it's time for bed." He still ignores her. 10 minutes goes on. "Jaden, are you wanting a timeout?" Of course he wants a timeout. He's delaying going to bed. "Jaden, do you want a timeout? Don't you realize you have to get up for preschool tomorrow?" And this continues. Without the cameras and without the onlookers, Mum's intensity and frustration rises with each mention of bed. Finally, in frustration, she swears and hits him over the head, shakes him and hits him again. By now, she's lost it. Now that, brothers and sisters, is abuse. A spank early in that scenario would have prevented all that. A spank does not teach violence. A spank given in love does not teach violence. A spank prevents violence because it stops that scenario of increasing frustration and anger. If it hurts enough, a child comes to his senses and realizes, "I deserve that." Okay, let's review. A spank with an implement called a rod in the book of Proverbs is done in love under control. It's done with the aim of producing godliness in the child. So we're modeling godliness even as we spank. The spank has to be hard enough to hurt to affect change. The spank should be for defiance, rebellion, not an accident. And it should be, I'm adding a different one now, it should be to the child. To the child. Add 10 years of negotiation and no spanks to Jaden, and it's going to be too late. Proverbs 22 and verse 15 says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him." Let me read again. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And Proverbs is talking about children right through. Childhood is the window of opportunity for this most effective form of discipline. Babies should not be spanked. They do not understand. You can only spank if the child is at a level of understanding to understand the instructions. They understand right and wrong. So babies should not be spanked. Later teens cannot be spanked. Childhood is the time for spanking, with a rod and in love, that they might become godly. Now let's come back where we started. We said because this discipline is in love, then the whole area of discipline has got to be done in the context of love. Because you, before you spank, you can explain to the child, "Now I'm going to give you a spank, but I want you to understand it's because I love you. I want you to turn out right. It matters to me that you make good decisions later on." And then when the spanking has done its work and they come back and they say, "Sorry, Mum. Sorry, Dad." It's time to embrace them and reassure them again. "I love you. I want you to go right. I'm glad that you've come back and said sorry to me." And it's an opportunity to say, "Well, if you're really sorry, you're not going to do that again, are you?" Now, if you do that, you're not going to have to spank a child very often for them to learn that there are consequences to disobedience. And so when Mum and Dad says it's time for bed, the child understands it's time for bed. I'm humbled to admit that I didn't always get this right. But I do recognize that the earlier I spanked, the less likely I was to get frustrated and angry when I spanked. Parental frustration is likely to end in abuse. Loving discipline, because it's under control, does not end in abuse. Not all children need spanks. For some children, a look of disapproval is all that they need. If a raised eyebrow is all that is needed to prevent defiance, you have a child who is unusually compliant. But a child like Jaden needs more than a raised eyebrow, right? Before you spank, make sure it really is defiance, and I don't have any doubt about Jaden back there. Make sure the child is at a level of understanding where they can understand the instructions. But having understood those precautions, when a child like Jaden is asking for a spank, do not disappoint them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that this will be challenging for some parents here today. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, they might examine the scriptures for themselves. Lord, they might examine the way that you work in their lives and discipline them. We want to thank you, Lord, for your discipline, because you care the way we turn out. You want to make us like your son. And Lord, as parents today, we want to say, Lord, we love our kids. We want them to turn out right. We want to discipline according to your discipline. Lord, if there's anyone here today who is disciplined in anger and frustration, Lord, would they confess that and ask your forgiveness? Lord, would they get it right with their children, tell them that they went past what you required? I pray, Lord, that there would be healing in families. But Lord, if there are any children that are going the wrong way, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, the parents would decide we must discipline because that we care the way they turn out. God bless this church. Help us to have strong families. Lord, we would desire that every child that comes through this church follows the Lord Jesus because they love him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.